Welcome back to the Golf Fit Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Scott, Golf Fit. Today we are going to be answering the question, how big should my backswing be? You know, this is something that came to my attention the other day. I was kind of scrolling through social media and, you know, I try and watch some golf posts just to kind of get ideas of really like what are the questions that are being asked and what are the questions that are not being answered. And so when it comes to the size of your backswing, Steve Cook actually posted in a video. If you don't know who Steve Cook is, he's a fitness model who is big on social media, and he just recently started getting very serious about golf. And so when I was watching one of his YouTube videos, he had brought up like the size of the backswing. And I was like, oh, that's a pretty interesting question. Like, not that doesn't get talked about that often. So here we go. Tour average shoulder rotation at the top of the golf swing is 88 degrees closed. Okay. Now, imagine that when you stand facing the golf ball and you are perpendicular to the golf ball, basically your normal address position, but standing upright, that would be considered 0 degrees. Okay. Now, once you address the club, typically what happens if you're a right-handed golfer, because your arms are not in the same exact place you have on your grip, your right hand hangs a little bit lower than your left hand. Okay. That will typically open your shoulders up naturally towards the target about 4 to 8 degrees. 8 is probably on the high side. You don't want it to be that high. But on average, it's about 4 degrees open at address. That's standing over the golf ball holding the club. Okay. So now when you think in terms of, well, what is 88 degrees close? Close would be your rotation of your shoulders going backwards. That is getting closed relative to where the golf, relative to your target. Okay. So if you think about it, if tour average is 88, you can imagine what exactly 90 would be, right? That would be perpendicular, your shoulders being perpendicular to your target line. Okay. That's really all you need. Your shoulders don't need to go any further past perpendicular to your target line. Now, can you? Absolutely. You know, there's tons of great players out there that have over 88 degrees and well up into the hundreds. Okay. This is all based on your range of motion and your ability to control the club face, and still make center contact with that much rotation. Now, is there a benefit? Haha, that is the magic question, right? Yes and no. There is a benefit to more rotation in the rare case that you're able to hit the golf ball as effectively as you would at 88 degrees close. Now, if you're having a hard time hitting the ball effectively at 88 degrees close, or even let's just round it off to 90, okay, you have no business going over 90 degrees because you can't even square up the club face coming from a 90 degree position. In fact, I would argue the fact that you could probably do better just by swinging about 70 degrees, okay, and just putting more energy and more effort into your downswing and your follow through, more so your follow through than your downswing. And see, that's what people don't get. Okay. And this is what confuses a lot of people, is people think that the bigger their backswing is, the harder they can swing. And the reality is that you swing fastest when you're swinging through the ball. So the backswing and the majority of your downswing should be majority. I just said majority twice, haha. They should be mostly set up for what you're doing at the bottom where the ball is, where it actually counts. And a lot of people try to pull for power too early in their downswing and it throws everything off. Okay. So why would you want to overcomplicate a game that is already so difficult by swinging further back than you need to and making it more difficult to square the club face. It just doesn't, it doesn't add up. And so the risk reward, in my opinion, is not worth it. In fact, I would say that as soon as your hands get to about even with your right shoulder in the backswing, okay, so really like a three-quarter backswing, you will find that you will be, for the average golfer, you will be more precise. You'll hit the ball further with less effort if you take a three-quarter backswing, okay? Just simply because of the fact that more likely than not, you're going to have a better chance of hitting the ball on the sweet spot, and that is what makes the ball fly the furthest and the best. Now, if you, by chance, are able to swing further back and get into the hundreds and still square up the club face and still miraculously hit the sweet spot while not losing any of your form, then absolutely go for it. Knock yourself out. You know, me personally, I don't have the range of motion to push myself that far back. I just don't. And to me, being out on the golf course, I would rather any day take an 80 or 75% swing and know that my chances are so much greater to be accurate than worrying about how big my backswing is. Now, another thing that happens with golfers is that they tend to pull the club away too quickly in their backswing. And when they do that, the faster you swing, the less you feel. Okay. And so when you pull the club back that quickly, it takes away all of your feel. So now you have no control over how big your backswing is anyways. Majority of the people that I get on camera, I can tell them, all right, I want you to take a half swing. They'll go all the way to the top. They don't even realize it. And then I'll show them on video and they see that they go all the way to the top and they can't believe it. And I'll say, okay, here we go. We're going to reset, all right? I want you to take a quarter backswing, right? And at a quarter backswing, they're still going almost to a full 90-degree rotation because they can't feel what they're doing because either they're moving the club so quickly or they're so tense that they don't realize how much effort they're actually putting into it, okay? And so tension and speed will kill your golf swing if it's not used in the right places. And so that's where, you know, I draw the line is you really don't need a huge backswing to be successful. In fact, I would say that majority of my shots where I take a three-quarter backswing and I hit the ball on the screws, the ball is going to fly 15 yards further than if I try to take a full swing and happen to miraculously square it up, okay? So it just makes sense to be more effective through the ball than worrying about how far I take the club away from the ball, okay? So that's my opinion. I hope that helps. As always, aim small, swing smooth, peace. Welcome back to the Golf Fit Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Scott, Golf Fit. This one today is a little bit different than what I usually talk about. I had a special request from somebody, so we're going to go ahead and dive right into this. So the question was, where should I start as a complete beginner if I want to get into golf? And it's a great question because, you know, a lot of people, when they get started, they'll either buy a brand new set, or they'll get a used set, or they'll get a hand-me-down set. And neither one of those is wrong. It really depends on your budget. And so you can usually find a pretty good used set from, let's say, a place like Roger Dunn's or any like local golf shop typically. You can find those for a moderately priced price point. The thing you want to be careful with is if you're buying irons and wedges that are used, you want to make sure that the grooves in the face are still relatively sharp and they're not beaten in by somebody who's hit a lot of golf balls with them. The grooves will deform, and then when they deform, you'll actually lose backspin from that, and eventually the whole face will start to actually have a little bit of a concave round shape in the middle. That's obviously assuming that you're hitting the person who was using them was hitting the sweet spot every time. So not to get too sidetracked here, but you've got brand new clubs, you've got used clubs, and then you've got hand-me-downs. There's nothing wrong with hand-me-downs either. As long as you have grips that are either brand new or still in good condition, as long as the lengths and the lie angle are not too far off of what you actually need, meaning that you can take a comfortable posture and make sure that in your comfortable athletic posture that the face of the golf club lays flat on the ground. You don't have the toe in the air or the heel in the air or anything like that. That would be some things that I would look at. Now, obviously the shaft makes a difference too. So if you're a relatively strong guy, you probably need to be in some form of stiff shaft. If you have a medium amount of strength, you probably need to be in like a regular flex. And then obviously if you're less than average strength, you want to drop that shaft flex down so that it can accommodate the amount of power that you have in your swing. A lot of people think that the shaft flex has something to do with how fast you swing, and that's not necessarily true. It's actually how much torque you place on the club while swinging it from your transition in your backswing to your downswing. That's when the shaft is going to change directions the most, and that's where that shaft flex has to coincide with how much power you're able to generate. Now, if you are like brand new and you want new clubs, my best recommendation is to buy a brand new out of the box, obviously depending on budget, but a brand new out of the box starter set from some place like maybe Amazon or Big Five Sporting Goods or Dick's Sporting Goods. You can usually find a pretty decent starter set where it will come with a bag. It'll come with several clubs, a putter, wedges, a driver, all of that stuff. And that's probably the best place to start, unless you have an unlimited budget. You know, you don't really need to go out and buy a $3,000, $4,000 set of golf clubs to get started. In fact, I would recommend that you can save your money and use the money towards getting lessons, because the clubs are like the icing and the lessons and the technique are the cake. And so when we have people who come in all the time to our shop that, you know, they want to start off with a club fitting, and we get about halfway through the club fitting and there's really no way to fit them because their ball flight is all over the place. So because there's zero consistency in their ball flight, we can't really make a very good prediction of the types of clubs that they need to be using because their swing is so inconsistent. And so by starting off with a cheaper set and getting the lessons built into your program, you will then be able to start to develop your swing in a way where you create this groove of consistency. And that groove of consistency is going to allow you to learn how to hit the ball correctly. And once you're able to hit the ball correctly with an average set of clubs, then I would say it would be a very good time to go ahead and upgrade and spend the $3,000 or $4,000 on your brand new set. But there's really no point in doing that unless you're able to strike the ball, I would say, five to eight times out of 10 on the sweet spot and have general control over the direction of where it goes and how far it flies. It really has to be somewhat consistent to make an accurate reading on your fitting. Can we throw somebody in a custom fit set of clubs with a terrible swing? Absolutely. You know, we can give them the best option for what they're working with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way to go. Because as you develop your swing and your swing gets more consistent, you should start to gain club head speed over an extended period of time. And as you gain club head speed, you will need and strengthen your swing, you will need better shafts. And so it really behooves you to start with shafts that accommodate a beginner swing, because that's your best chance for success when you're going out and trying to have a halfway decent round. So that's where I would start. I would start with lessons and either a hand-me-down, a used or a brand new box set for probably less than $800. And from there, you can learn how to chip, learn how to putt, learn how to hit the ball close from 100 yards, then learn how to hit the ball close from 120, 150, 175, 200, you know, and learn how to hit draws, learn how to hit fades. And once you can do that kind of stuff almost on command, then I would say it's a really good time to start considering a brand new, very expensive set for yourself. And you don't even have to. I mean, you can play good golf with pretty much anything if you have a good swing. Just like a photographer, you know, you can take an amateur photographer and give him the most expensive camera in the world, but a professional photographer can take a better picture with an iPhone. And we all know that iPhones don't take as good of a picture as an Android. So so it just goes to show that the skills are what's required, not the equipment. The lessons are what is required, not the equipment. And so you want to develop some form of religious practice routine. And when I say religious, I mean seriously, as consistent as possible, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes a day. Just force yourself to pull that club out, because every time you pull that club out, even if it's for 5 minutes, you're sharpening that blade. And you're making that knife sharper and sharper and sharper, so that by the time you do finally go out on a Saturday or a Sunday and you're going to play golf, your iron is very sharp. And your knife is very sharp, and your play will be so much better because you're just doing what you've been doing every day. And you'll have less worry, less fear around missing. And your overall skill is going to improve because you're going to start to develop that groove of where your swing needs to be. And it literally feels like a groove. Once you get it and it makes sense and you're doing the right mechanics, it's literally a groove that you're trying to find, where you place that club on the correct swing path with the correct face angles at the moment of impact. So I hope that helps. You know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on my TikTok. It's Ryan Scott Golf Fit with one F, GOLFIT, Ryan Scott. And, you know, or you can hit me up on Instagram either way. But I hope that helps you guys. As always, aim small, swing smooth. Peace. Welcome back to the Golf Fit Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Scott Golf Fit. This one today is a little bit different than what I usually talk about. I had a special request from somebody, so we're going to go ahead and dive right into this. So the question was, where should I start as a complete beginner if I want to get into golf? And it's a great question because, you know, a lot of people, when they get started, they'll either buy a brand new set, or they'll get a used set, or they'll get a hand-me-down set. And neither one of those is wrong. It really depends on your budget. And so you can usually find a pretty good used set from, let's say, a place like Roger Dunn's or any like local golf shop typically. You can find those for a moderately priced price point. The thing you want to be you want to be careful with is if you're buying irons and wedges that are used, you want to make sure that the grooves in the face are still relatively sharp and they're not beaten in by somebody who's hit a lot of golf balls with them. The grooves will deform, and then when they deform, you'll actually lose backspin from that, and eventually the whole face will start to actually have a little bit of a concave round shape in the middle. That's obviously assuming that you're hitting the person who was using them was hitting the sweet spot every time. So not to get too sidetracked here, but you've got brand new clubs, you've got used clubs, and then you've got hand-me-downs. There's nothing wrong with hand-me-downs either. As long as you have grips that are either brand new or still in good condition, as long as the lengths and the lie angle are not too far off of what you actually need, meaning that you can take a comfortable posture and make sure that in your comfortable athletic posture that the face of the golf club lays flat on the ground. You don't have the toe in the air or the heel in the air or anything like that. That would be some things that I would look at. Now, obviously, the shaft makes a difference too. So if you're a relatively strong guy, you probably need to be in some form of stiff shaft. If you have a medium amount of strength, you probably need to be in like a regular flex. And then obviously, if you're less than average strength, you want to drop that shaft flex down so that it can accommodate the amount of power that you have in your swing. A lot of people think that the shaft flex has something to do with how fast you swing, and that's not necessarily true. It's actually how much torque you place on the club while swinging it from your transition in your backswing to your downswing. That's when the shaft is going to change directions the most, and that's where that shaft flex has to coincide with how much power you're able to generate. Now, if you are like brand new and you want new clubs, my best recommendation is to buy a brand new out of the box, obviously depending on budget, but a brand new out of the box starter set from some place like maybe Amazon or Big Five Sporting Goods or Dick's Sporting Goods. You can usually find a pretty decent starter set where it will come with a bag. It'll come with several clubs, a putter, wedges, a driver, all of that stuff. And that's probably the best place to start, unless you have an unlimited budget. You know, you don't really need to go out and buy a $3,000-$4,000 set of golf clubs to get started. In fact, I would recommend that you can save your money and use the money towards getting lessons, because the clubs are like the icing and the lessons and the technique are the cake. And so when we have people who come in all the time to our shop that, you know, they want to start off with a club fitting, and we get about halfway through the club fitting and there's really no way to fit them because their ball flight is all over the place. So because there's zero consistency in their ball flight, we can't really make a very good prediction of the types of clubs that they need to be using because their swing is so inconsistent. And so by starting off with a cheaper set and getting the lessons built into your program, you will then be able to start to develop your swing in a way where you create this groove of consistency. And that groove of consistency is going to allow you to learn how to hit the ball correctly. And once you're able to hit the ball correctly with an average set of clubs, then I would say it would be a very good time to go ahead and upgrade and spend the $3,000 or $4,000 on your brand new set. But there's really no point in doing that unless you're able to strike the ball, I would say, five to eight times out of 10 on the sweet spot and have general control over the direction of where it goes and how far it flies. It really has to be somewhat consistent to make an accurate reading on your fitting. Can we throw somebody in a custom fit set of clubs with a terrible swing? Absolutely. You know, we can give them the best option for what they're working with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way to go. Because as you develop your swing and your swing gets more consistent, you should start to gain club head speed over an extended period of time. And as you gain club head speed, you will need and strengthen your swing, you will need better shafts. And so it really behooves you to start with shafts that accommodate a beginner swing. because that's your best chance for success when you're going out and trying to have a halfway decent round. So that's where I would start. I would start with lessons and either a hand-me-down, a used or a brand new box set for probably less than $800. And from there, you can learn how to chip, learn how to putt, learn how to hit the ball close from 100 yards, then learn how to hit the ball close from 120, 150, 175, 200, you know, and learn how to hit draws, learn how to hit fades. And once you can do that kind of stuff almost on command, then I would say it's a really good time to start considering a brand new, very expensive set for yourself. And you don't even have to. I mean, you can play good golf with pretty much anything if you have a good swing. Just like a photographer, you know, you can take an amateur photographer and give him the most expensive camera in the world, but a professional photographer can take a better picture with an iPhone. And we all know that iPhones don't take as good of a picture as an Android. So so it just goes to show that the skills are what's required, not the equipment. The lessons are what is required, not the equipment. And so you want to develop some form of religious practice routine. And when I say religious, I mean seriously, as consistent as possible, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes a day. Just force yourself to pull that club out, because every time you pull that club out, even if it's for 5 minutes, you're sharpening that blade and you're making that knife sharper and sharper and sharper, so that by the time you do finally go out on a Saturday or a Sunday and you're going to play golf, your iron is very sharp and your knife is very sharp and your play will be so much better because you're just doing what you've been doing every day, and you'll have less worry, less fear around missing, and your overall skill is going to improve because you're going to start to develop that groove of where your swing needs to be. And it literally feels like a groove. Once you get it and it makes sense and you're doing the right mechanics, it's literally a groove that you're trying to find where you place that club on the correct swing path with the correct face angles at the moment of impact. So I hope that helps. You know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on my TikTok. It's Ryan Scott Golf Fit with one F, G-O-L-F-I-T, Ryan Scott. And, you know, or you can hit me up on Instagram either way. But I hope that helps you guys. As always, aim small, swing smooth. Peace. Welcome back to the Golf Fit Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Scott Golf Fit. This one today is a little bit different than what I usually talk about. I had a special request from somebody, so we're going to go ahead and dive right into this. So the question was, where should I start as a complete beginner if I want to get into golf? And it's a great question because, you know, a lot of people, when they get started, they'll either buy a brand new set, or they'll get a used set, or they'll get a hand-me-down set. And neither one of those is wrong. It really depends on your budget. And so you can usually find a pretty good used set from, let's say, a place like Roger Dunn's or any like local golf shop typically. You can find those for a moderately priced price point. The thing you want to be careful with is if you're buying irons and wedges that are used, you want to make sure that the grooves in the face are still relatively sharp and they're not beaten in by somebody who's hit a lot of golf balls with them. The grooves will deform, and then when they deform, you'll actually lose backspin from that, and eventually the whole face will start to actually have a little bit of a concave round shape in the middle. That's obviously assuming that you're hitting the person who was using them was hitting the sweet spot every time. So not to get too sidetracked here, but you've got brand new clubs, you've got used clubs, and then you've got hand-me-downs. There's nothing wrong with hand-me-downs either. As long as you have grips that are either brand new or still in good condition, As long as the lengths and the lie angle are not too far off of what you actually need, meaning that you can take a comfortable posture and make sure that in your comfortable athletic posture that the face of the golf club lays flat on the ground. You don't have the toe in the air or the heel in the air or anything like that. That would be some things that I would look at. Now, obviously, the shaft makes a difference too. So if you're a relatively strong guy, you probably need to be in some form of stiff shaft. If you have a medium amount of strength, you probably need to be in like a regular flex. And then obviously, if you're less than average strength, you want to drop that shaft flex down so that it can accommodate the amount of power that you have in your swing. A lot of people think that the shaft flex has something to do with how fast you swing, and that's not necessarily true. It's actually how much torque you place on the club while swinging it from your transition in your backswing to your downswing. That's when the shaft is going to change directions the most, and that's where that shaft flex has to coincide with how much power you're able to generate. Now, if you are like brand new and you want new clubs, my best recommendation is to buy a brand new out of the box, obviously depending on budget, but a brand new out of the box starter set from some place like maybe Amazon or Big Five Sporting Goods or Dick's Sporting Goods. You can usually find a pretty decent starter set where it will come with a bag. It'll come with several clubs, a putter, wedges, a driver, all of that stuff. And that's probably the best place to start, unless you have an unlimited budget. You know, you don't really need to go out and buy a $3,000-$4,000 set of golf clubs to get started. In fact, I would recommend that you can save your money and use the money towards getting lessons, because the clubs are like the icing and the lessons and the technique are the cake. And so when we have people who come in all the time to our shop that, you know, they want to start off with a club fitting, and we get about halfway through the club fitting and there's really no way to fit them because their ball flight is all over the place. So because there's zero consistency in their ball flight, we can't really make a very good prediction of the types of clubs that they need to be using because their swing is so inconsistent. And so by starting off with a cheaper set and getting the lessons built in to your program, you will then be able to start to develop your swing in a way where you create this groove of consistency. And that groove of consistency is going to allow you to learn how to hit the ball correctly. And once you're able to hit the ball correctly with an average set of clubs, then I would say it would be a very good time to go ahead and upgrade and spend the $3,000 or $4,000 on your brand new set. But there's really no point in doing that unless you're able to strike the ball, I would say, five to eight times out of 10 on the sweet spot and have general control over the direction of where it goes and how far it flies. It really has to be somewhat consistent to make an accurate reading on your fitting. Can we throw somebody in a custom fit set of clubs with a terrible swing? Absolutely. You know, we can give them the best option for what they're working with, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right way to go. Because as you develop your swing and your swing gets more consistent, you should start to gain club head speed over an extended period of time. And as you gain club head speed, you will need and strengthen your swing, you will need better shafts. And so it really behooves you to start with shafts that accommodate a beginner swing, because that's your best chance for success when you're going out and trying to have a halfway decent round. So that's where I would start. I would start with lessons and either a hand-me-down, a used, or a brand new box set for probably less than $800. And from there, you can learn how to chip, learn how to putt, learn how to hit the ball close from 100 yards. Then learn how to hit the ball close from 120, 150, 175, 200, you know, and learn how to hit draws, learn how to hit fades. And once you can do that kind of stuff almost on command, then I would say it's a really good time to start considering a brand new, very expensive set for yourself. And you don't even have to. I mean, you can play good golf with pretty much anything if you have a good swing. Just like a photographer, you know, you can take an amateur photographer and give him the most expensive camera in the world, but a professional photographer can take a better picture with an iPhone. And we all know that iPhones don't take as good of a picture as an Android. So it just goes to show that the skills are what's required, not the equipment. The lessons are what is required, not the equipment. And so you want to develop some form of religious practice routine. And when I say religious, I mean seriously, as consistent as possible, even if it's 5 to 10 minutes a day. Just force yourself to pull that club out, because every time you pull that club out, even if it's for 5 minutes, you're sharpening that blade and you're making that knife sharper and sharper and sharper, so that by the time you do finally go out on a Saturday or a Sunday and you're going to play golf, your iron is very sharp and your knife is very sharp, and your play will be so much better because you're just doing what you've been doing every day. And you'll have less worry, less fear around missing, and your overall skill is going to improve because you're going to start to develop that groove of where your swing needs to be. And it literally feels like a groove. Once you get it and it makes sense and you're doing the right mechanics, it's literally a groove that you're trying to find, where you place that club on the correct swing path with the correct face angles at the moment of impact. So I hope that helps. You know, if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out to me on my TikTok. It's Ryan Scott Golf Fit with one F, G-O-L-F-I-T, Ryan Scott. And, you know, or you can hit me up on Instagram either way. But I hope that helps you guys. As always, aim small, swing smooth. Peace.